You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me tonight to review the day's action is Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. I've just finished a long conversation with somebody in Johannesburg, Skulk. And when I say conversation, in other words, I introduced the person and he talked for 22 minutes because he was so... He's more of a chatterbox than you are. He was so infuriated with level 4 load shedding, Skulk. How do you live in that country?
Yeah, it's... Okay, so I'm going to start my stopwatch. He said it was 22 minutes, right? Okay, so let's see if I can do this. Big breath. Yeah, no, Lindsay, I must say it's...
Seriously, it's quite sad, isn't it?
Utterly disappointing. Mm. I mean, utterly disappointing. I mean, we're going to look at a few results today, and then a lot of the results actually mentioned, you know, disruptions in terms of power, load shedding, disruptions in terms of looting. This is not the type of news you want to see. And when a thing pops up, something that says stating, you know, stage 4, this is not good for South Africa, not at all. So, and it doesn't seem like the solution is you know, close by on the horizon. This recent explosion that they had, they mentioned that they're gonna take years to recover from that. So we don't have years. We need to be able to grow our economy, and we need power to do that. So, let's leave it there. Okay. Utterly disappointing.
It is very disappointing. Let's look at a couple of things that are not disappointing but intriguing. The Platinum Group Metals takeover. Mm. Impala taking over Royal Bafokeng, should it go through, which I don't see why it shouldn't. RB Platts numbers up 20%. We'll update them in a moment. But, this is interesting. And I like the fact they're not doing it right at the top of the PGM market. They've waited for the thing to come back, or they've just been lucky in order to get the price down a little bit, or the PGM basket down a little bit. But what do you make of this? Is this a good sign or a bad sign?
I think this is a great sign. I really think this is a great sign. I mean, you know, firstly, let's look at some numbers, and then we can, you know, sort of go through and decide if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
I want to quote Pete Viljoen. I mean, he had a little quote today on his Twitter, and I think he most probably implied or referred to the deal, but maybe he didn't. But I think this was a very, very solid one. It was my tweet of the day. We said, miners doing fairly sensible deals doesn't represent the top of the cycle. Miners being rewarded by the market for doing outrageous deals would be more like it. We're not there yet, and I think that sort of look at this. I don't think this is a deal that implies we're at the top of the market. So let's look at the numbers. So currently, Impala Platinum market cap it says 174 billion rand company. Mm-hmm. When you look at RB Platts or Royal Bafokeng Platinum, they're 27 billion rand company. They're going to be, well, the plan is to swap shares. You'll be most probably, if the deal goes through, you will be awarded as a RB Platt holder. You will be awarded Impala Platinum. Let's take the sad part. That's another company. Lindsay, I mean, we've
another one gone.
I think last 3 months, another one gone. I mean, we were talking about the other day, we were looking at about 137 companies left on the JSE all share. And this will basically imply that another one bites the dust, another one will be gone, be pulled into Impala Platinum. Just doing the quick math, I mean, you would look at a company that now suddenly will be have a market cap of over 200 billion rand. Mm-hmm. It's not at the, let's call it Impala or Amplats, Anglo-American Platinum size. Anglo-American Platinum size currently is 427 billion rand, but it will be bigger than Sibanye-Stillwater, it's currently 150 billion rand, and Northern Platinum, it's 185 billion rand. So I think this is a very solid deal for Impala Platinum. I think it's a good sign, something had been coming along. And as you mentioned, I mean, the Royal Bafokeng shareholders graciously awarded today, you know, share price that's up 20.6%. That's where it closed the day at 114 rand 30. So this is a massive movement. Impala Platinum, a little bit softer, 1.4% softer. Just, I think, some started off a little bit softer, way softer than it currently closed. So I think in general, over the longer haul, this it makes sense. And let's see how, if it goes through.
Yes, I mean, is there a geographical consideration here? I mean, if they might have looked at Northern, for example, but they might say, well, your shafts are not close enough to our shafts to make it worthwhile. I don't know, because I'm not a miner, but maybe there is a geographical consideration as well between Impala and Royal Bafokeng King.
I definitely think that they will look at it. They'll look at the management. They'll look at, but like I said, this is something that's been sort of talked, and they would, but I mean, this is just a big bang. I mean, clearly, you know, shareholders didn't expect, if you see a share movement of 20.6%, this is big. But yeah, let's see if it goes through. As I mentioned, this will give Impala Platinum, you know, quite substantial size. Not an expensive company at all. Impala is still, I would say, in a cheaper range. With PGM prices, we've lately seen that the palladium price has kicked up again. We've seen Platinum not trading at your $900 mark anymore. It's still now over $1,000. Rhodium prices a little bit up from the lows, or let's call it the recent decline. So I think it's good. I'm a shareholder of Impala Platinum, and as a shareholder, I'm going to be watching this deal with interest, and let's see what happens.
Okay, well, it's good that there's some M&A activity, but that we're losing another company from the JSE Securities Exchange. But I'm sure the deal will compensate for that. Famous Brands. I looked at these numbers this morning.
Yeah.
I think it came out at 7:20 or something like that. I got an email from the PR company. Some really, really big numbers off a low base, though, Skunk. But nonetheless, some really good numbers.
Yeah, I went through the interim results, and I was sort of in between. So I immediately thought, let's introduce the company first. Mm-hmm. This is they've got very famous brands, pun intended. Very famous brands in South Africa. When last were you in the Wimpy? I know you're not finding yourself in South Africa, but you know, when you were in South Africa, when last did you find yourself in a Wimpy?
I've never been in a Wimpy in South Africa ever. In London, I used to have a Saturday job in a horrible place called Slough, and I would go to the Wimpy in Slough, and this was in the 1970s, mid-1970s, Saturday job in a shop, and I would go to the Wimpy, and you would go there, you'd sit there, and they'd have this sort of griddle, and you'd say, "I can have a cheeseburger, please," and he would put it on the thing in front of you and cook it. It was like a restaurant rather than a convenience food or fast food chain, and that was when Wimpy was Wimpy, but I've never been to one in South Africa. When was the last time you went there?
I was actually there recently. I mean, I took a bit of a road trip the other day to Montague. Went to a game reserve called Sambona. It was really, really a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But as I usually do when I hit the road, Jack, you know, when I take the
bring yourself
the
back down to earth and have a Wimpy burger, yes.
You need to do it. And I mean, you were talking about the 70s here. I mean, just as a matter of interest, here's a fun fact for you. I mean, the other day I got hold of a Wimpy menu of 1972.
Oh yeah,
not too far off when you actually were there last. And currently, you know, when you walk into a Wimpy, there's two things that you order. You will order a Wimpy burger and chips, or a Wimpy cheeseburger and chips. That's it. That's what I do.
Exactly. So,
okay. A Wimpy burger and chips currently cost you, you know, R59.90. Let's round it up, $60. So. Yeah, that's it. Wimpy burger and
for
chips.
For a Wimpy burger, $60.
$60, R59.90, and it's the bee's knees. I mean, it is. It's when you taste a Wimpy burger, it feels like a road trip. But as a matter of interest, this same Wimpy burger in 1972, it would have cost you
$1.35. $1.50.
No,
oh, really?
No, 35 cents. 35 cents. Now that's a 14,000, close to 15,000 increase in price. We know that's what they call inflation. Now, just to extrapolate that's 11% per annum. Over the same period, inflation came out at 9% per annum. So the moral of the story, Lindsay, You know, if you need to go and eat that Wimpy Burger now, because it's every year it's actually increasing more than inflation. And if you're not earning or not increasing 11% per annum, just go and have it today. Anyway, I digressed. How's my 22 minutes going?
You're doing pretty well, actually. I'm impressed, although you've let me interject occasionally. Tell us about famous brands apart from Wimpy and how they did.
So there's another brand, and that is Debonairs, Mug and Bean, naturally called Wimpy, and a few other let's call it other brands, Lupa, Mythos, those stuff, Mythos and Paul. Very good. I mean, revenue, I mean, you've mentioned you introduced the results as something that came off a very, very low base. We know that, let's call it 12 months ago, we were sitting with an environment where we had – so when you compare to 2019, revenue is still down 22%. But, I mean, a nice increase, 50% increase to $3 billion. That's the revenue. Headlines, earnings per share, that grew 140% to 97 cents. They did mention in there, and we said about disappointed the Eskom and load shedding. They also mentioned that the looting, they had 109 stores that was damaged to the looting. 99 restaurants were non-operational. And I think very important to note that, you know, only 55 stores were reopened by the end of August 2021. So they're still very similar to some of the other companies we reported. Clearly, still some stores that's affected and not opened yet. Either, you know, being not open that it's not finished yet, or not open that it's not viable. In general, I think it looked good. It's not a company that I own. But as I mentioned, very, very solid brands in it, and the shareholders liked it. You know, liked the feedback today. It was up 1.43% and closed the day at 69 rand.
Okay. What would you do with this now? Is this just a bounce back from a really, really beaten up position? And now that South Africa is slowly opening up with a couple of wobbles, I'm sure, on the way, do you think people are going to say, okay, now we've got more confidence, we're going to support the brands that incorporate famous brands' as portfolio?
This will be very similar to the category where you look at the likes of the City Lodge Holdings, the City Lodge, the hotels, Soho Sun, yes. Sun Internationals, those type of companies that's been highly affected, and with the likes of tourism, you know, popping up, we know that things are opening up. We're moving from red list to amber list, and hopefully eventually to green list, and eventually no list, that we just can, you know, start traveling and start moving. And I think as we open up, and we will open up, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the vaccination process is going well internationally. We started off, you know, very, very slow in South Africa, and I think eventually if we catch up and we can open up everything, then naturally these type of recovery companies will be companies that you need to look at. Because as I mentioned, I mean, your from 1999 or 2019 levels, they're still 22% down. I mean, this is a company that still can do a lot in going forward in an open environment. So if I'm a shareholder, looking at the results, I think I would most probably be inclined to be holding. If I'm a person that's sitting on the side and looking to buy into an open or unlockdown environment, this will be one of those companies I'll just put on the radar. I know we had a small cap the other day that he did an article in one of the media outlets. I can't remember which one. I would say he actually looked at the company. He was looking pretty positive on it. So yeah, at Small Cap Daily, if he thinks it's good, I mean, I think it might be something that you can look at.
Very good. We'll do so. Let's have a look at the spot prices now. I've got the dollar rand under huge pressure, 2.4% in the last 24 hours to the downside. The dollar rand, 15.04. British pound against the rand, 20.65. Euro rand, 17.44. The euro dollar, 115.90. A 0.2% rally in the US dollar, which explains some of the rand movement, not all of it, obviously. British pound against the dollar, 137.25 after the budget today. The gold price, it's doing okay. 1792. It's down 13, but it was in the 1780s this morning. So 1792 for gold. Platinum down 30, though, but still above $1,015 per ounce. Not so good for palladium, down $33 per ounce to 1974. And that's a 1 2/3% move to the downside. On my delayed screen, you're going to give us the live Wall Street prices, but Dow Jones is down a bit, the S&P is flat, the NASDAQ is up a bit. We've had some terrific NASDAQ-listed companies coming out with results in the last 48 hours. I mean, look at this thing, Tesla and Alphabet and Facebook. Their numbers are staggering. We don't even understand, do we? We haven't got anything like it. It's extraordinary.
It is massive. Massive movement. We're still looking at, man, I just got the Refinitiv, you know, update. They look at the S&P 500 as it goes along. They call it the earnings dashboard. You know, currently, when we look at the companies, 83% of the companies reported, and just to date, you know, to the 27th of October, which is today, 192 of the 500 companies reported. 83% of them beat earnings expectation, 4% matched, and only 14% were below. So this is again a quarter where we're going to see, you know, most probably massive beats if you look at the amount of companies that reported. You mentioned the technology companies or communication companies,
which they
did beat, you know, most of them beat. When you look at communication, 100% of the companies beat, and that's just as I mentioned, you know, 8 companies reported. So out of the 8 companies, 100% of them outperformed. 24 tech companies reported. 92% of those 24 companies beat earnings expectation. But here's the interesting one. You know, the surprise factor was about, let's call it 12%. That's just how much they actually beat it. When you look at the biggest beat currently on the S&P 500, it actually comes from the financials. 43 financials reported to date. 91% of them beat earnings expectation, and the surprise factor was over 20%. So this is quite a good sign. And why I would say this is a good sign. Everybody is still, you know, got that big debate. Is this a value market? Is it a growth market? I think most value managers and value seekers and value investors out there is waiting for the reversion back to the mean. We know the huge underperformance that value companies had to date. But this is the companies you want to be looking at when you look at value companies, because typically your value companies you will find in the financials, materials, and also energy sectors. And when you see these type of beats coming from financials, I do think I suddenly just look at the value side and say, well, maybe we're getting close to a bit of a comeback.
Okay, Scott, let's have a look at the movers on the JSE today now. And at the top of the list, we've mentioned it several times, but let me just reiterate that Royal Bafokeng Platinum rose by 20.6% to R114.30, with talks that Impala is looking to acquire 100% of the issued share capital. DRD Gold up 6.5%, Tiger Brands up 5%, and Quilter up 2.4%. On the downside, I've got PSG Consult down 3 2/3, Transaction Capital down 3.6%, African Rainbow Minerals down 3.5%, and Hammerson also down around about 3.5%. Any stocks outside of those that were on your radar today, Skull Glow?
I think you mentioned that Tiger Brands on the top performers. We had Tiger Brands, as you mentioned, you know, over 5% up today. And that was, I think, I find it strange in the sense, strange why, because they did bring out a trading statement. Trading statement only said that they expect the headline earnings per share ending 30 September to be between 15 and 25% higher. But I mean, when you see this type of movement, a 5% movement in the share price after a, you know, 15 to 25% higher is good. It's a strong movement, but clearly, you know, the expectations were a lot lower. So this must be a massive beat on broker expectations with the share price moving up over 5%.
This is my tip for a takeover. This is my tip for a takeover from a foreign raider.
Yeah.
And watch the share price now. You might see some activity.
This is not
there.
The first time.
No.
This is not that we had AVI. I think 2-3 months ago, which also had they actually brought a cautionary announcement, clearly stating that something can happen that can affect the share price. We haven't heard anything yet, but Tiger Brands suddenly, as I mentioned, they suddenly got a big blip on my radar when you see these type of movements with good news, but not. I mean, not. Yeah, this type of news. But anyway,
put them on your gossip list. Put them on your gossip list. Let's have a little list there, but a little separate thing, the gossip list. Okay, Skulk, give us the closing JSE indices and also live Wall Street, please.
So the JSE followed to international markets. They were down 21 basis points, closed the day at 67,475 points. Resources were down 85 basis points. Financials, they were in the green, 12 basis points. And I'm going to mention, they were actually 19 basis points stronger. Industrials, they were up 12 basis points, I think most probably on the back of the weaker rand. And the SA Property Index were unchanged. We look at the value traded in the market. Again, fourth day in a row where we had a sub 20 billion day. Very similar levels or very similar trading value through the market than yesterday. Today was 18.6 billion. And when we look at the US currently, as we speak, we're looking at a Dow Jones that is down 30 basis points. S&P 500 is flirting with the positivity mark. They're about, let's call it 7 basis points down. And the NASDAQ, they're in the green with all these wonderful, wonderful results coming from the tech companies. They're 35 basis points up as we currently speak.
Very good. Skulk, thanks so much for your time. That's Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. And Skulk will be back with me tomorrow morning for the opening. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.